It's good to see everyone back with us tonight, and what an honor and a pleasure, privilege it is that we can be here again, be able to preach the Word of God and share with you my thoughts, and the things that I try to put in my life and that I try to work on to strengthen my spiritual life, to strengthen my relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to strengthen to be able to help myself to become a better example for my friends, my family, my co-workers, the ones that we touch every single day. You know, that's what our life is all about. And while we're doing this, while we're on this journey, to please God and to seek after Him, and bring Him all the honor and glory. While we're doing this, we have things in our life, like we talked about last night, the fears and the doubts, the things that set us apart from being spiritually inclined with Jesus Christ. We're bringing us that perfect bond, that perfect love that casts out fears, 1 John talks about in the 4th chapter. Now that's what we work on continually. That's what we as Christian people have to work on continually to become the best stewards, to become the best molded Christians that we can be for our God. And that's what I've been working on and studying over the last couple months, knowing that I was going to come down here, is what it is that I can do to keep the distractions from blocking my view of Jesus Christ. What distractions? There's distractions all around us. We mentioned a few last night, talking about the negative thoughts that go on in our minds, the negativity with the media, the negativity that we see on social media, the negativity that just surrounds this world, that just grasps our attention, that make us just want more and more of it. Because we can't wait to see what has happened, what negative thing has happened in this world, how they show the world is so bad and just so full of hatred and full of deceit. But you know what? Jesus Christ tells us over and over that how much love there is that needs to be in this world. And I believe truly with all my heart that this world is still full of love, still full of wanting to do right, wanting to follow after Jesus Christ. We just have to continue to press forward and pull it out of everybody, pull it out of the people around us. We can see here tonight, we have a building full of people that just come out as it was prayed that we are here because we want the truth. We want the truth. We want to make it to heaven. We want to be with our Maker forever when we leave this world to spend eternity with Him. And Jesus Christ said in John the 14th chapter, He said in the 6th verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said that no one comes unto the Father but by Him. And out of everything that we can study and read, Jesus Christ is the number one thing that's got to be preached before anyone can come to know our Lord and Savior and to know our God and to have a relationship and to be able to establish a relationship with Him. Is we have to know about Jesus Christ. We have to be able to tell people, and we have to be able to make sure that Jesus Christ is always brought up in anything that we talk about, because without Him, we're nothing. We can't make it through our day without Him, and we can't make it to salvation, and we can't make it into eternal life without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, tonight we're going to take a look a little bit at 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter. We're going to look at what Brother Paul had to say here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, or we'll start in verse 10. He says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it's good or bad. So we're all going to be appointed to die. We know we're all appointed to die. We're all going to stand before God at the end of time, and we're going to give account. And it says here that it's of the good things or the bad things that we've done. He says, Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So we see the judgment of others, the judgment we see of other people, the judgment we see, the judgments we make of this world. It doesn't matter. It's all about what God thinks. It's all about His final say. It's all about what He's going to direct, where He's going to direct us at the end of time. The judgment that we make doesn't matter, but only Christ's judgment. we're known of God. That's the most important thing, is that He says we're made manifest. We're made known unto God. We're made known unto Him, that we should, that should be our concern. That's the only concern that we have. Are we known? Does God know us because of our fruits, because of our labors, because of the spiritual inclination in us? Does God know us because of this? Are we constantly searching and seeking after the truth, fighting off the distractions of this world? I can't stress enough that how easily it is that we're distracted on a daily basis. It is so simple to get distracted from the task at hand. I mean, it takes less than 23 seconds to be distracted, and it takes more than 22 to 23 minutes to get back, to get our mindset back onto what we're studying. So say you're at your job, you're working, you're working on a simple task, you have somebody knock on the door, come in, hey, can I bother you for a minute? You take your mind off that task. For 2 minutes you spend with that person. Well, 23 minutes later, it takes your mind that much longer to get back into the mindset, the focus of completing the task that was at hand. And that's why it's so important that we stay on task as Christian people, that we stay on task every single day with Jesus Christ leading our way. Because the distractions is what's going to keep us away from our eternal home. The distractions is what keeps us from spiritually growing more and more in our Christian life. The distractions of our life is what can drive that wedge between us and Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He died for our sins, and that He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. It says, "After that He was of about 500 brethren at once, of whom a greater part remain unto this present day. Some are fallen asleep." But the key fact of this is the fact that we set our focus, we set our attention, we set our desire. And we don't let the things of this world distract us that people talk about on a day in and day out basis of how bad it is. We set our focus and desire on knowing that Jesus Christ died for us, that He did bury, that He was buried, that He did rise again, and that He still lives this day. And that it was all for us. It was all for you, and it was all for me. It was all for us Christian people and for the world. So that we could come and have a place with Him at the end of this life. No tears, no sorrow, sweet, wonderful joy, love, peace will be there for us. That's what God has intended and what He has in plan for us. But the thing is, what amazes me about this part right here is it says that He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12 and then of 500 others. You can look in Acts, if you look in Acts, the first chapter, it also goes a little further there. In the third verse it says, "To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs." He says, "Being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So not only did He die and He was resurrected, but He spent 40 days after so with these disciples, with these people, teaching them and telling them about the kingdom of God more and more. Even after He died, for 40 days, they still resided with Him. You know, and that's the same Jesus Christ that we get to reside with today. That's the same Jesus Christ that we pray to and that we ask to guide our path. We ask for forgiveness through Him to God on a daily basis. In Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." He says, "And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in these things." That we should walk in the good works. We should walk in the spiritual things. So by faith we believe God. That by His grace we receive salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus, when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we receive this gift. We receive salvation. We receive the blood that continuously cleanses us. We live with Christ we live Christ-like through these things, these works, the good things, the workmanship, because we trust God. Because we trust God, we believe God. That's why it's important up to us that we weed out the distractions. We weed out the distractions that constantly plague us from our spiritual growth with God Almighty. Time after time, we see through these letters that Paul wrote. Time after time, we constantly see Paul defend himself about his discipleship with the truth. We see him do it with the truth. We see him do it through honor, through his faithfulness, and also without doubt. We never see in here, we never see him doubt in the power of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying, because he was a man just like we are. He was a human being just like we were. He was tempted and he failed. He got back up. But the fact is, he did it without the doubt. He did it without doubting that Jesus Christ would lift him up and help him to succeed in his task at hand. When he was shipwrecked, when he was snake bitten, when he was thrown into the prisons, when he was tortured and put on trial for his life, he always trusted in Jesus Christ. That's why the outcome was always great. Because he never lost focus. The distractions, these distractions that kept getting in his way, he kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his eyes on Christ. And that's where it is in our Christian life, that we have to continually keep our eyes on the prize. Because all the distractions that go on in this life. You know, and the best way to get across and get out of these distractions is building a system, a set of systems and structures around us. A set of systems and structures that will set us free. The systems and structures I'm talking about is setting up a daily goal. Setting up a daily goal of what we want to achieve in this life for God. What we want to achieve in our personal life. Set goals for that. Set goals for what we want to do for our family. But it starts with God Almighty. It starts with setting that system of being able to read this Word. It doesn't matter if you read 5 to 10 verses a day. But that you study with a pure heart, with a true mind, and that you're focused solely on those 10 verses, and you're trying to dig in and get the most out of those 10 verses. You can read those 10 verses, or you can read 10 chapters. But there's a system and structure behind our Christian growth. There's a system and structure that will set us free into being able to know that we're spiritually growing closer to Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That we're not taking a step back. That our life is climbing just like climbing Mount Everest. That we're going to succeed. We're going to win the fight of life. We're going to win the fight against the distractions. We're going to win the fight against fear and doubts. Because fear and doubts is the first thing, like we mentioned last night. Fear and doubts will pull us and drive a wedge and build a wall between us and Jesus Christ faster than anything else. Fear and doubts will drag us away. And I'll show you here, point of fear, what I've run across in 1 Kings. 1 Kings Elijah, we'll read about him for just a moment. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. We're going to read just a little bit here. So we see all what Elijah done for God in this part that we're going to read. 1 Kings 31, we'll start in the 31st verse. It says, "And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. It says, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put up the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces. He laid them on the wood and said, Fill the barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, Do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. The water ran about the altar. It filled the trench also with the water. Said, It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, said, Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. It says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God that has turned their heart back again. And here's the part. And said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So we read all that to bring out this point. To bring out the point, and the final point will be made in just a moment. But this point was, we see how Elijah obeyed God. We see the faith. We see that he didn't allow anything to distract him. That he built the altar as it was told to him. And he did each and every step as it was assigned to him to do. Before he called fire down from heaven. So after he built this altar, he prayed to God. Fire come down from heaven. It burned it up. And then they also killed the priest of Baal at the same time. Okay, so here we have Elijah with this faith. God told him what to do. He did it. He saw fire rain down from heaven. I mean, how amazing is that? Has anybody in this building seen fire rain down from heaven? And I could probably ask you to raise your hand on this one. Probably, I don't believe anyone can say they have. But that's how amazing it was. That's the amazing faith. That's the amazing obedience that he had for God. Well, this next part in 1 Kings 19, when you keep reading through the story, well, Jezebel threatened to kill him. Had put out that they wanted Elijah dead. They wanted Elijah put to death. Well, Elijah fled. You can continue to read on through the 19th chapter. You can see Elijah flee. Well, the point of the story that I'm wanting to make is Elijah fled, and he was scared for his life. He was absolutely scared for his life, and he prayed to God that God would kill him, that God would take his life, because he was so scared. And here we have the man that was so obedient to God, believed everything he said, saw fire come down from heaven and burn this, and as it rained down. And now he's scared for his life because some man, kind person, has done put out a hit for his own life. And he's scared because he's afraid he's going to be killed. And then he prays to God that God will kill him because he can't stand the fact that he's being chased, that his life is on the line. Does that sound like, can that be us today, that we're so faithful to God, that we're so inclined to beat out the fears and the doubts, and then at the same time we turn back and we continue to fear, we continue to worry, although we've been cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've seen miracles right before us, we've seen our kids being born? That's a miracle in itself, because the rarity of that happening, the rarity of how the chance that child can be formed in the mother's womb. We see this. We see the miracles of people being healed from cancer. We see people being healed from flu viruses, from HIV, from all these different things. We see people. We see miracles, but at the same time, we back up. We lose our faith. We lose our focus. And what's it because of? For me, it's because of the distractions that get in my way. And I feel that, I know we may not be threatened in our life. We may not have people threatening to kill us. But we do have the devil that's constantly knocking at the door waiting for us to put our hand down, to become complacent, to become slothful in our business for the Lord. These are things that we have to be aware of, because it happened to Elijah. Elijah was one of the most dedicated to God that we can read about as well. We see all the things that he done, but in the end he asked for forgiveness and he continued to live on. But the point is that that's how easy it is to become distracted and to lose our focus. To lose the focus of pleasing God. Lose our focus of where our life is on a day-to-day basis. Because it only takes a day, it doesn't It doesn't take a week. It doesn't take a month. But it can take years sometimes before we actually fall away. And that's what we fight against. We fight against the flesh. We fight against those sins and fight against those things on a daily basis. We also see again in the New Testament, in Mark 14th chapter, after Jesus was taken and captured, after He was arrested, we see here in Mark the 14th chapter, the 50th verse, that He says that after they had captured Him, they all forsook Him and they fled. They all forsook Him and they fled. They fled for their life. These are people that walked with Jesus Christ. These are ones that walked with our Lord and Savior. They saw the miracles. They saw the wonderful love that Jesus bestowed to this world. When they took Him, they fled. They were scared for their life. They were afraid. What are we going to do now? Our Jesus, our Lord, has just been taken into custody. What's going to happen? Although, you got to remember, before all this happened, Jesus Christ had told them exactly what was going to happen, that He had been sent down here to be led to the slaughter for us. They witnessed it, they saw it, but still at the same time, that fear of human nature takes over sometimes. That fear of human nature is so easy to take over our minds in a split second, in a blink of an eye. You think of Peter. Peter told the Lord that he would not deny Him, that he would die for Him. The Lord told him that he would deny Him three times, and he did. Peter went away sorrowful. He wept. He was sorry for the things that he had denied the Lord. That's us. That's us every day. And that's the story of Peter is what reminds me that I'm human, that I don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect because we have the blood of Christ. And that's the thing that reminds me every day that it doesn't matter how much I fall. It doesn't matter that I'm distracted at times. But it's the point that what does matter is that Jesus Christ remains first. That God Almighty remains first, and that when we are distracted, when we do become fear and doubted, when we do become overwhelmed with worries, that we look to the one that can save us. Look to the one that can answer our prayers. Look to the one that can comfort us. And that's Jesus Christ Almighty. Because that's what they ended up doing. That's what each and every one of these people ended up doing. Elijah did. And we see the disciples later on, they continue to follow after the Christian faith. They continue to follow after Jesus Christ. Paul, get back to Paul, the second Timothy, the third chapter. And this is something that we can remind ourselves of constantly, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Because before that it says that the Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that it's doctrine, profitable for doctrine, instruction in righteousness, proof of correction for us. These are the things that we can correct our life by. These are the words that can help us and remind us on a daily basis that we don't have to be perfect because Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ is the one that was the atonement for us. He was the one that the perfect one, the only perfect one there is. I'm not saying we don't work towards perfection, by no means. I don't say that we can just be half, we can be 80-20. I still know we have to give it 100%. But at the same time, we also don't have to put the stress on ourselves. We don't have to put the bearing on ourselves like I have my own self over the years that's drugged me down and pulled me back sometimes. I've learned to realize that I'm not perfect. Things aren't going to happen perfect. There's always going to be instances that hold us up. We're going to run late. There's going to be accidents. There's going to be water spilt. There's going to be messes made. And there's going to be things that don't go our way. But at the end of the day, we have somebody that is perfect. We at the end of the day, we have somebody that we can call on, that we can always rely on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We have Christ our Savior that we can count on. You know, the Word it equips us with the good works that we do. It equips us and it wants us to equip ourselves with the peace of mind of knowing that Jesus is there for us. It equips us with the joy of knowing that Jesus took the cross the joy that knowing that He loved us so much that we're His, that we can be called the sons and daughters of God. That's the joy that we have in our life, the joy of knowing that we have hope of eternal life with our Maker, with our Lord and Savior. And that He, and it equips us with the ability not to fear. It equips us with the ability not to doubt and not to be discouraged. Not to be discouraged, because this book is the perfect law of liberty, it tells us. It tells us it is the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom, the perfect law to allow us to overcome the wicked one. That's what this book is. That's why it's so amazing. The light, the joy that shines in us, the joy of being a Christian person, a Christian human being on this earth. I read this today. I found this today, and it would have fit in. I should have fit it in last night, but it kind of can go in because they kind of all blend together a little bit. These two sermons here, but. Psalm 118 said, the sixth verse said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What can man do to us? Because we have the Lord on our side. We will not fear. It says, "The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." Our desire is not against the ones that do us wrong. Our desire isn't against the media. Our desire isn't against social media. Our desire isn't against the negativity of this world. But our desire is to our Lord. Our Lord that's on our side that helps us not to fear. That's who our desire has to be set about. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Verse 8, Psalm 118 and 8. Better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. David said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes." That sums it all up to me. That sums up what I need to understand about our Lord and God, is that the Lord's right, the rejoicing in our heart, that the commandment of the Lord is pure, and that it opens our eyes to wonderful, miraculous miracles every single day of our life. It's a miracle that we get down. We pass people on the road every single day. We pass people running 70 miles an hour, 3 feet from one another. I consider it a miracle because it's a miracle that those people didn't look off to the left or look off to the right for that split second and swerve over and hit us head on and take us out of this world. At the same time, that's what we have to look towards, is leaving the world at the same time, though. At the same time, we still have to continue to prepare and be able to be ready if that does happen. Or if the doctor does tell us that we have cancer. Or if the doctor does say that we're not going to, that we have a year to live. Or that we have 3 months to live. We are prepared. That's why it's so important to me that I get the distractions out of my life now. That my distractions solely focus on Jesus Christ being my distraction from this entire world. If we want distractions, let Jesus be the distraction. Let Jesus be the distraction. Let Him be the one that distracts us and keeps us on the straight and narrow pathway, allowing our light to shine on a day-to-day basis to everyone that we come in contact with. Philippians 4 and 8, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," this is the fourth chapter, "whatsoever things are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things of love, those things of good report, the virtue, the praise." That's what he tells them. He tells the church at Philippi to think on these things. Think on these things. These are the things that 2 Timothy, the third chapter, talks about. These are the things that equips us. The true, the honest, just, the lovely, the pure, the things of the virtue, the praise. These are the things that equips us with the things we have to that we can overcome the distractions of this life with. Those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace will be with us. And that's what we want in this life as Christians. We want peace. We want joy. We want happiness. Our life isn't always going to be a smooth pathway. Our life isn't always going to be exactly what we want it to be, because we have somebody that's greater than that, that's able to save our soul, to able to lead us and bless us more immersed, more than we can ever imagine. At the same time, the things that that distract us can cause us to forget that. And that's what I want out of myself. That's what I want out of all the Christian fellows that are here this evening throughout the world as well. That we remain grounded. We remember that Jesus Christ is our stronghold. Jesus Christ is our stronghold. He's the one that allows us to be bonded. He's the one that allows us the strength to go on every single day. You know, if we meditate, the word is truth. It's noble, it's righteous, it's pure, and it's without fault. If there's nothing that we can get from it, remember that this word cannot lead us astray. The word is without fault, and it's admirable. The definition of admirable, and I looked this up for a reason. If you look up admirable, you think of an admirable in the military is a man that he's the one that leads the ship. He's the one that mans the entire ship. Well, Jesus Christ is our admirable. He's deserving of the highest esteem. That's what the definition according to Webster is. Deserving of the highest esteem. So when our waves go to rocking, or when our boat goes to rocking, when our mind starts going all over the place wondering what I'm going to do next, how I'm going to get back on the path, how I'm going to ever be able to be good enough. Well, it's not about being good enough. It's about having Jesus Christ, the blood, cleansing us. It's about doing everything we can with a pure heart and a pure mind and purely focusing on what's the most important in this life. And that's God, and that's our family. That's what's most important in our church. God, Jesus Christ Almighty, He's our cornerstone. He's the one that upholds us all. And as long as we stick with Him, we'll fight the fight, we'll keep the faith until our time comes when we reach the end of our life, just like Paul told them in Philippians. He's fought the fight, He kept the faith. But just remember this, that indecision is the thief of opportunity. The inability to decide where I'm going to live, the inability to decide how I'm going to live, will rob us of every opportunity we have of making it to heaven if we don't take control of our horse now. If we don't take control of our path, we don't take control of our pathway with Christ at our side, indecision is a thief of opportunity. So just remember that as we begin to close here tonight, that the indecision, the inability to make decisions, to understand that if our cell phone, if the internet, if our computers, if they're our distraction, do something about it. Make a change. Make a new path. Like I said at the beginning, that the structure and system will set us free. The systems and the structures we have in our life will help us to self-manage and will help us to maintain self-control. Everything can be done in a way that's okay. Everything can be handled. We can read books besides the Scripture. We can read books. We can search the internet. We can play sports. We can go fish. We can go hunt. We have all these wonderful freedoms that we enjoy. But the key fact is that if it's making it hard on us to make a decision about how we want to spend our eternal life, if it's affecting us to the point of, I can't get enough reading done, I can't get enough Jesus Christ in my life, that's when it becomes the thief of opportunity. That's the inability that I'm talking about that plagues us from being filled with the Spirit on a day-to-day basis. And that's what we as Christian people do not want. we want to spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever in heaven. Or we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't attend church services. We wouldn't put out the effort of coming out. We could on a Saturday night, or a Friday night, or a week long meeting. We wouldn't put out the effort if we didn't want it. These are things that have plagued me. These are things that I've looked at in my life. These are ways that I've equipped myself to overcome these distractions, to overcome the fears that I've had, to overcome the doubts that I've had. Because I don't want these things in my life. And it's not that they're not going to be in our minds. It's not that I can completely get rid of them and I never have to worry about them again. But it's the fact that I can limit them. I can limit these things in my life. And I can limit these things in my family. And I can limit these things to you guys. And I can limit these things to people at work and the people that I'm surrounded with in my life on a day-to-day basis. Just as you guys can. It's all about rearranging our schedules. Setting our structure around us. Brother Dave told us one time, he had a lesson on hedging. Setting a hedge around us so that we're not outside that hedge, that we're protected by the Spirit of Truth. You know, tonight I appreciate everyone's attention. I appreciate everyone being out with us tonight, though. If there's anyone here that's never obeyed the gospel tonight, I ask you and beg you that you come and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You accept that He did die, that He did rise again, and that He does live today. And you have to hear, you have to believe, you have to repent of your sins. You confess the sweet name of Jesus. You're baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. But if you've obeyed the gospel, maybe you need prayers of the church. Maybe you need strengthening this evening. 1 John 2:1, He gave us that advocate. He gave us that way to come back into the fold of Christ. That we could ask for prayers, we can ask for forgiveness. And that's the most important thing, that we use that avenue of prayer. We use that avenue to talk to one another. We use that avenue of prayer to talk to God Almighty. That we can pray for each other, and that Jesus Christ can pray to God for us. So if there's any way that we can be of assistance this evening, please let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.